Alle, alle, alle. Alle, alle, alle. Alleluia. Alle, alle, alle. Alleluia. 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 Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable before you, O God, our strength, our rock, and our redeemer. Amen. Jesus is traveling through the cities and the villages, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the good news of the kingdom. And wherever he went, he healed people of every sort of illness. What compassion he felt for the crowds that came, because their problems were so great and they didn't know what to do or where to go for help. They were like sheep without a shepherd. So, pray to the one in charge, the one in charge of the harvesting, and ask him to recruit more workers for his harvest field. That's what he said to the disciples. But then he said some more. He said some more. And he did some more. Jesus then called his 12 disciples and sent them out with authority. Authority over unclean spirits, to cast out these unclean spirits and heal every sickness and every disease. The instruction was, go. Only to the people of Israel, God's lost sheep, tell them, the kingdom of heaven is near. Go. Heal the sick. Cure the lepers. And cast out demons. I don't know if the same happens to you, but when I think of evangelism and when I think of mission, I think of hardship and difficulties. Why did I ever want to say yes to this? Sometimes I feel like Moses. Lord, why did you give me these people with such a hard neck? They're so stubborn. In a sense, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ does make us persevere. And it also demands from us effort and sacrifice. Jesus said, I will build up my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. No matter what difficulty you are in, guess what? And you're not going to believe this, and maybe you will not agree. The church is safe. The church is safe. Because Jesus has promised, even though it might sound like a threat, he has promised that the gates of hell shall never prevail against it. So while others are thinking that you're losing in this game, they are the ones who are lost. For the church that Jesus has built, nothing shall destroy it. But he still commissioned them to go and preach the gospel to every creature. Go. Preach the gospel to every creature. And what did those people do? Those 12 disciples took Jesus at his word. And they did the job. You heard that? They took Jesus at his word. And they went ahead and they did the job. Men with no wealth, no social position, no prestige, no extraordinary talent. Nevertheless, they took Jesus at his word. Are you there? Take Jesus at his word. When he said, go, they didn't ask how far. They didn't ask when. They didn't say, I am not equipped. I don't have the right clothing. They just went. In comparison to others that when the Lord called them, they said, I can't speak. Remember? He says, I'm too young. Remember? And now I can hear Jesus say, go. And women are not saying, but I'm a woman. The people went. These 12 disciples went. And they gave their lives, carrying the mission to the end of the earth. From the 12, the group grew to 120 by Ascension Day. Now let's see if I'm doing the math right. And Bishop Jones, kind of help me, because we're going to be talking about numbers now. It says, from 12, they grew to 120 by the day of Ascension. A week later, more or less, on Pentecost, the numbers increase to over 3,000. By the time the 12 disciples died, and this was at the end of the first century, there was an estimate of 500,000 people following Jesus Christ. At the end of the second century, there were 10 million. At the end of the ninth century, there were 100 million. Today, do you know how many are we? 2.2 billion. Ah, somebody in the room has numbers right. 2.2 billion believers around the world. All because somebody took Jesus at his word. And because these Christians were so excited and they were so supportive of one another and they were so supportive of mission that instead of doing it by themselves, they prayed to the Lord of the harvest. They prayed to the one in charge of harvesting to send workers into his fields. Church growth specialists indicate that if each professing Christian were to reach three people for Christ, the great commission of Jesus will be fulfilled in one generation. But it's not fulfilling it in one generation or another. Is making sure it happens until he returns. It's not only about the numbers. It's also about growing with people on their transformed lives. It's also about growing with other people in their reconciled lives. It's also about growing with people as they feel committed to this mission. As we become a disciple-making church, our culture challenges us to be intentional. Intentional about nurturing, about teaching, about empowering, about sending. But But it also teaches us to be intentional about praying. And be intentional about fully commissioning disciples in God's mission. I love when up on the little pieces of paper we gave the small group at the beginning asking who are we as clergy in the Episcopal Church, and somebody said, we are sheepdog. I think you're right. We are sheepdog because there is a shepherd. And because there are many sheep. As I say that, I remember something. I remember a story. This member of the congregation, you know the custom. You stand at the door at the end of the service and you greet people, and people tell you how good your sermon was and things like that, you know. Sometimes they're right. They're right. But this particular day, this man walked up to the clergy person and said, look, I don't want you ever to call me a sheep anymore. I was looking at Discovery Channel and I saw how dumb the sheep are. That's a dumb animal. They are so dumb, they will follow each other into slaughterhouse. Not even pigs would do that. But if we have a shepherd and we proclaim that God is our shepherd, then we are his sheep. Yes, some sheep are stubborn. Sometimes you have to break their legs and bring them back in. And why do you think, as bishops, what do we carry? A crozier, yeah. To hook them back into the fold. As we become more and more in the disciple-making church, we have many sheep that are still wandering aimlessly, following anything or anyone that seems to be moving, no matter what the direction or what the destination. Without a sturdy, guiding set of values to shepherd them safely through wilderness, shepherd them through the valley of the shadows of darkness, if that is not there, these sheep are doomed. And those are the sheep that Jesus is compassionate about. The sheep that still don't know his voice. The sheep that don't know the way. The sheep that belong perhaps to other walks of life. And I think, and not I think, I am sure that the only one that can call disciples and send them with that type of commission, the only one that can do that is Jesus. The only one that can call you and me into a commission ministry, a serving ministry, a gospel ministry is Jesus. And I'm not saying that Jesus is only calling you as a clergy person. Every Christian is called. And it is the job of the church to prepare that Christian for discipleship or prepare that Christian for ministry. You remember in the catechism in the back of the prayer book, who are the ministers of the church? We are all the ministers of the church. But it is our job as church to open up the Christian to the possibility that the power of Christ can work through them and transform their lives and transform their ministry. And sometimes what happens is that as church, we are training up people to do little responsibilities. Let me put this list out there and see what happens. Sometimes after a confirmation class is prepared, members of committees and commissions are looking at these people to see who they are going to invite and make them part of the committee. Okay, I'm talking about my experience in Panama, where people are looking to see, oh, who's going to be invited to be a member of the Altar Guild or maybe of the ECW or whatever. But we are at times prepare people for little responsibilities. We prepare people to organize bake sales. We prepare people to chair finance committees. We prepare people to coordinate Sunday school courses. We prepare people to sing in the choir. We prepare people to assist us with chalice assistance at the Eucharist. We prepare even people for ushering. And note, this is all good and this is all important. But what else is God calling us to do? What else is God calling us to prepare people for? And let me give you the next list. When Jesus said to his disciples, go, this is what he told them to do. To cure the sick, to raise the dead, to cleanse the lepers, to cast out demons. That is what else we are called to prepare people in ministry to do. That is what we are also called to prepare people to do as disciples. And what does that mean when it comes to our everyday activities in church? It means that we are called to prepare people into doing the hospital's ministries, the prison ministries. We are called also to do the sick visitation. Yes, I know. Some people only want to see the clergy person. They only want to see the priest. No, they don't want no lay person to come and visit them when they are sick. And some people will even say, I'll stop tithing if the pastor or the priest doesn't come and visit me while I am sick. But we are called to raise up in our congregations these new ministries, these difficult ministries that perhaps no one wants to do. Those people who minister to those who live with AIDS. Those people that have been identified as the outcasts in the community. Those that are still in shackles. And even those systems that produce death, we are called to face them and to transform them. Jesus didn't give disciples simple, safe, and comfortable tasks when he commissioned us. What he did, he gave us his power. He gave us the assurance that even when he sent us out to do difficult things, he would be with us even until the end of times. The only thing we need to do is take Jesus serious at his word. For he has promised to be with you. He has promised to be with us until the end of times. What this list of unbelievable tasks is suggesting us is that we cannot be disciples on our own. Not only by study or by good works or by high standing moral, not only because of that. The only one who can provide us the power necessary to carry out the task, the only one is Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. The only one who embodied the kingdom can breathe the life of his spirit into a new generation of disciples. We pray that that spirit of Jesus will continue to breathe his life into our ministry. My sisters, my brothers, God expects me to minister to others. He expects us to minister to others. God enables us so that we can enable others. God equips us so that we can equip others. God empowers us so that we can empower others. Not with our power, but through his power. The power of the Holy Spirit. And that is why I say to you without hesitation, my sisters, my brothers, keep watch over the flock that Christ has given you. Keep watch over the flock that Christ has given you. Keep busy in your work for the Lord, since you know that nothing you do in the Lord's service is ever without value. That is why some are prophets, some are pastors, some are teachers, and it's only because we are there for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, and for the building up of Christ's body, the church. Amen.